The Wednesday edition of Down to Brass Tacks starts right here, right now, with your host, Corey Lane. Good morning. We're coming to you from 92.9 FM. Broadcasting from beautiful skies across River Road, Bridgetown, Barbados. It's just about 28 degrees Celsius. That's about 82 degrees Fahrenheit. So let me take this opportunity to say a special good morning, a warm good morning to those of you listening overseas. And a special good morning to those of you who wait until 10 a.m. to switch on or to switch over to us here on Down to Brass Tacks. You know the number, 434-1790. That's 434-1790. You can save it as VOB. So you can reach us here on Down to Brass Tacks. So you won't have to message me and ask me, what's the number for Brass Tacks again? And you can reach Ken, and you can reach Carol, and you can reach all the VOB family. You can also send them messages at 266-4862, and you can reach us here at Brass Tacks at that number as well. Save it as well on the VOB Brass Tacks. That's 266-4862. 266-IVOB. So take off your shoes and come on in and stay with us until 2 p.m. this afternoon. What's on my mind? Who cares? I want to know what's on your mind. But thinking about it, on my way here in particular, there were a number of persons who would have yelled across the road, who would have flagged me or who would have called or messaged and said, you know what, I have some issues I want you to raise, but I'll be at work. And I know that's code for, I would like you to raise the issue because I'm afraid to call. But nonetheless, the three in particular that reached me before I got to the studio is, in particular, the SSA and a WhatsApp that I was supposed to read since last week. The issue with the buses, saw lots of people at the bus stops as I made my way here this morning. I don't know if there's a particular problem with Transport Board, an additional problem, or this is the perennial problem that we've been facing over the years. And of course, the visitor permits. That was raised with me yet again. So basically, over the last 4 weeks or so, the Barbados Licensing Authority, as I understand it, has not been issuing visitor permits. So people with rental cars and so on, I do not know what they have been doing. So I would like to get some information on that in particular. Last week, we should have followed up on it. Today, I'll try to follow up on it to bring you in the know. Because you may say, I do not rent or hire a car, so it does not affect me. And I continue to warn Barbadians all the time not to adopt that attitude because we are all interconnected and interdependent. So if we cannot have tourists book coming here, spending foreign exchange, the economy cannot do well, and your peanut butter, I always talk about that peanut butter in the store, can go up when you have to get more taxes to get more money out of the economy. Those more taxes come from, unfortunately, you and I. So, in relation to visitor permits, I want to get some information on that in particular. And I want to see if I can locate this message in relation to the SSA. And let me just start off the program with this. And then we go to the phone line, seeing that we have all the lines engaged already. So, this one says, I want to ask you, Mr. Moderator, the SSA workers, we want to know if the NUPW can tell the SSA workers when they will get their appointments. So I think what has happened is we have a number of appointments throughout the teaching service and other parts of the public service. A number of SSA workers want to know from public service and the NUPW, when will we be getting our appointment? So there, I deliver that message as well. And with no further ado, we take a break. And when we come back, we take all of your calls on this, the Wednesday edition of Down to Brass Tacks.
Sarah Ann Gill was a free colored and a Methodist. Methodists were viewed by the Barbados upper class as anti-slavery agitators, and in 1823, a mob destroyed the Methodist chapel and forced missionary Reverend William Shrewsbury out of the island. Mrs. Gill then opened up her home as a meeting place for Methodists. For this, she was relentlessly persecuted, including threats to burn her house. While this threat was never carried out, they did burn her in effigy. She was also prosecuted twice in the law courts for holding illegal meetings. Despite this, Mrs. Gill continued to hold regular worship services in her home and in 1825 provided the land for our new chapel at the site on which the James Street Methodist Church is now located. The Anne Gill Memorial Church is named in her memory. The Right Excellent Sarah Anne Gill, National Heroine of Barbados, a symbol of courage, perseverance, and commitment to religious freedom.
This is Down to Brass Tacks, and you are on the air. Good morning and welcome.
Good morning.
Hi, good morning.
I have an issue here. Mm-hmm. I does look after a gentleman live next door. Well, I realize he talked to me on Monday on his telephone. The phone was working, had no problem. No, yesterday, no, I came home. He calling me, and then I realized I can't get through to him. When I went by his house, he said, the phone dead, it ain't got no dial tone, it ain't got no flip on it. I take it the phone, I realize I plug it out, how did it instruct you to plug it out and to plug it back in? Hold and behold, I gone and called this 1-800 number in Jamaica. The lady informed me, then disconnect the man's house phone. For whatever reason, I don't know. The man is out without a phone. His bills are paid on time. I have the money to go and pay the bill that come out last. No Thursday, because the bill due to pay on the 21st. Now, I would like somebody from Limestone yesterday to tell me why they disconnect this man's phone. From since Monday, they disconnect this man's phone. Get somebody he knew the number he had and somebody he long he had. Well, I never come across no stupidness yet in my life. And turn around, then, the young lady in Jamaica allow me to know that I will go appear somebody to come and look at the, because I cannot get the box removed from the house. They want the number, the serial number at the box, at the back of the box, the ADM box, for them to activate the phone. I said, listen, when I disconnect the man's phone, right, I don't know, because I even sent a person to see if they could get off the box to look at the back to get this serial number she asking me for. I cannot get the box off, or I will got to pay the whoever going to come. I tell them, listen, when I disconnect the man's phone, the man when he had a problem, he phoned in December, that was rectified, and I am not paying a cent more than one than what I just paid in the month come for the phone. When I going to send somebody, and I will look the phone back on before 10 o'clock this morning, because I'll be calling Brass Tacks. The woman allowed me to know, ma'am, but they got it here that they don't know the serial number for the box. I never hear such stupid. That box moved to that man's house since December last year. She allowed me to know somebody went at the house at 10th of April this month. Nobody went at the man's house. And I can't understand why they do this here. I disconnect the man's phone. The man ain't owing the money. He ain't in no raise. Nothing of a sort. But then disconnect the phone. I had to know nobody called because they left my number for somebody to call me before 10 o'clock this morning. And nobody has not called and said anything. That man should have ain't got to pay in the bill for the next 3 months. That's what I say. He shouldn't have got to pay in them because they're disconnecting my phone wrongfully.
I am one, definitely. All things remaining equal, will agree with you. All things being true. Because I believe that when you are inconvenienced, those Papi Show apologies, they don't square with me, because you would have had to take your time and call and write and travel to the office and so on. But let's start at the beginning. Now, listening to this story, the service that met it out is no surprise to me, because we've heard these stories ad nauseum on this program and other places. What sounds a little strange to me is that they would have distributed the number so quickly, because they know they tend to hold on to the number
to somebody else
to reserve, you know.
Yeah.
Now, my thing is here is that the first question we want to ask you is, have you really attempted to speak to anybody senior? Because I find that when you speak to these telephone operators at the call center, they are trained in a script, almost robotic. If the customer says A, say B. If customer says 2, say Z. So I find them to be quite useless from time to time. So my question to you is have you reached out to anybody senior?
I told her, give me, because you can't get a number here to call nobody here.
No, you can. If you know where to go, you can. Trust me. And you know that you would have heard advertisements from Flo, very effective advertisements on a very effective station, that they are trying to really correct a lot of the issues and problems that people have been having and the poor service. So there are numbers that you can reach people here. But let me get to that coming on to the end. My question is, have you attempted to reach somebody senior?
No. I told the lady yesterday in Jamaica, she apologized to me. Every time she put me for a watch, come back, she apologized to me 10 times.
Mm-hmm.
I told her, give me some person number here so that I could speak to. Because you in Jamaica and you don't know what's going on in Barbados. I tell her point blank.
And she was unable to give you a number here, right?
Yeah.
Okay, good. What do you want to do? Leave your number with the production assistant, and we will take that number and we will provide you with the number that they have provided us to give to persons who have these type of special complaints. So thank you very much. Remember, we're going to try to keep it going, that radio continue to work. So you hold on the line. Brad Stats, good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Lane.
Hi, good morning.
How are you?
I'm fine, thanks. What about you?
I've got two issues, but you know I like to deal with one issue. So the one with Mr. Doyle not liking the law, I will put that on hold for another time.
Mm-hmm.
What I am dealing with is in today's newspaper, on page 31 and 32, they're dealing with St. Lucie folks want better. You know, the nation dealing with various constituencies and feedback and so on. And what is important here, I remember, let me give some background. I have dealt in St. Lucie with elections before. And, you know, I used to live in the north. I used to live in Spikestown. But I was out there with Mr. Greer Broom. Remember, he ran in St. Lucie. And I was out there with him on his platform. I've also been down there with the late Roy Buffett. So I am not talking, but this somebody tells me. I like to talk about what you know.
Mm-hmm.
There's a section here that states the issues, and it has like eight areas, and in all, from different parts of St. Lucie, from Pike Corner to Moontown and Checker Hall, over in the west, every part, one thing stands out in all of them, bad roads. And it is that I want to deal with. I remember, like you would know, I used to work at the National Housing Corporation. I am no longer, I am a retiree now.
Mm. How long you retired? How long ago you retired?
Last year, February.
Mm-hmm.
Now, on January, it was January 31st, 2014. You would remember when a number of people were laid off from the government and especially statutory boards. And I could tell you, I went to work that Friday, and it was like a funeral situation. People were crying. People were hugging up. I know that some people got the papers to go home. But you know the amount of people that are crying and hugging up people. I thought all of them were being sent home, but they were showing solidarity with the friends who were sent home. And on that same day, here right there, January the 31st, a Friday, 2014. The present Minister of Transport and Works, he was the former Minister of Housing. And he was there because he went to see the Minister of Housing, the present one, Mr. Dennis Kelman. And he went with some of his people, seeking a reprieve or temporary reprieve. And Mr. Kelman walked out his old office and went in the front and stand up. I was right there in the lobby.
Question, where is all this going? And they answer that with all the respect.
I want to tell you hear with the problem that the people got in every part of St. Lucie?
Right, roads and across Barbados. Roads. Bad roads.
I can't hold Barbados. How you doing, operate on our basis?
But listen, like, I am telling you that it is a problem in St. Lucie, but it's not peculiar to St. Lucie. It's across. But if you want to stick in St. Lucie, let's stick in St. Lucie.
But that's why stick
so
in
there's
St.
bad roads and what else? You have not moved on from the point there. That's what I'm trying to help you with. Remember, we are not having a conversation between you and I. We are talking to people in Barbados and across the world.
Exactly. And people know they got bad roads.
Exactly.
But I'm dealing with the bad roads in St. Lucie. Why you don't want me to deal with
bad roads? But where you get the impression I don't want you to deal with the bad roads? You deal with the bad roads. You talk with this body come out and this. It's going nowhere. But you have to get to it. You got to get down to brass. This is brass stats. You can't go all around the world.
I like to tell it like it is. You can get down to my brass stats if you
want. But tell it like it is, then.
There are three.
I can hit you with a gutter perk. You go along.
There are three candidates down there. And I want to make it clear, I am supportive of the BLP candidate, Peter Phillips.
He has a plan to get these roads repaired.
But not he in person. The Barbados Labour Party, because he's not an independent. He belongs to the party, and the party will form the government, and they will have a program.
I learned in 2000 and between 2003 and 2008, right?
Yeah.
That particularly good representation, right, and a good particularly good representative actually is the person who can get roads done. And I learned that from no other persons than Mark Williams and the former Prime Minister Owen Arthur, because he came down in St. Michael Northwest. And he said, you know what, y'all should give this man another chance, because this man will not get off of me about the roads in St. Michael Northwest and a bus service. That's how y'all get the Deacon's Road bus, and that's where he had to fix all these bus, because he was a nuisance to me. He will not get off my back. So it tells me that a particularly good representative can actually get things done in a constituency if they really know how to go about doing things.
No, Mr. Phillips went about all the ways. He did videos, he did all sort of things. But he can't get past, that's why I tell you, he can't get past the present Minister of Transport and Works, or Minister of Roads, because of how he was treated by the present representative.
But that is us talking about him as in opposition. But with his party, his party comes to office, he must be willing willing to put the party feet to the fire to ensure that it is done. Because you got to remember that when they are around the table in cabinet, there's a limited budget and there will be priorities. And he must be willing to stand up for the people in St. Lucie.
You never went to a meeting in cabinet office yet.
Yes, I did.
I have been to a meeting in cabinet office.
You see how you trap yourself. And y'all has come here and speak with authority on things you don't know. I have been at meetings in cabinet office.
Meetings chaired by the Prime Minister in the cabinet office.
How you know I have not been?
But you talking like FNO. I am saying that the Barbados Labour Party, the members and the hierarchy who would form the government, have visited St. Lucie and they know the problems down there, and the number one priority is going to be those roads.
All right, fair enough.
That is what it is.
Fair enough.
And you have made your point. Have did his best to try to get the roads fixed, and Corey, I know of situations, and it happened up here in Southeast though, where people in the opposition got things done in this constituency. I am aware of that, so people from the opposition could get things done.
Right, you're going to know to work the system. Anyhow, we get the point. We want to thank you for calling. We want to continue to not tell it like it is, but get down to brass tacks. So, down to brass tacks, good morning, you're on the air.
Greetings, Corey. How are you doing?
I'm fine, thanks. And you?
That's good. I'm all right, too.
All righty.
Well, we know that radio works, and I want to use your forum.
On that point, we already got the number to the lady, by the way. So we just want to just verify that radio continues to work in 2018.
Yes, it does. Of course it does. So coming out of these statements that I would have made following Saturday's tragedy, I think the Attorney General had some concerns, I guess, about some things that I'd said. And he'd left a message for me to call him, and I dutifully did that. The first time I didn't get through, this morning I didn't get through again, but he was gracious enough to return my call. I'm going to blame it on the service providers. The call was disconnected, and I know that the Attorney General is an honorable man, and he would not put down the phone in my ears. So I'm saying that the call, you know, probably the service providers, something happened. So I just wanted to use your forum to be able to offer the explanation to the Attorney General, because I believe that, you know, he deserves that level of credence and respect. So what I was trying to point to on Monday is that although we have passed the Domestic Violence Act in Barbados, and although there are a lot of provisions offered to women, I'm going to say women because women are disproportionately still affected by domestic violence and intimate partner violence. So there are a lot of things that act guarantees women. One of them is that if the woman is perceived as not seeking the type of help, the type of assistance that will get her into a safer position for whatever reason, as long as that is the perception of a number of people, the police included, they can go ahead then and start processes without her being the primary person to do it. The challenge that we're having is that because the culture around domestic violence has not changed, a lot of those provisions are not being invoked in particular circumstances. A further challenge that we are having is that we're CARICOM citizens particularly, but other immigrants as well, have made Barbados their home. When they go to get services, when they start to experience difficulties and go to get help wherever they're going, they're being told that because they are not Barbadian, they're not entitled to the services that they're trying to activate. So that, I think, was the point that I was making, is that because then the services are not available to these CARICOM nationals and immigrant women, it makes them a particularly vulnerable group. So I wanted to offer the explanation because absolutely, this is something that we need to engage the Attorney General on. It is one of those things with the movement of citizens, the CARICOM arrangements that we have made that we still have to iron out. So they come here, they're living in Barbados, but then when they go to get services, they're being told that they can because they're not Barbadian. So it is something that we have to iron out. Now, the other thing that I wanted to be able to discuss with the Attorney General this morning is that coming out of the Yugi Farrell case, inter-Caribbean feminism, womanism, has gotten a new life. So we realize that we're fighting in our various silos, in our various groups, in our various countries. But some of these issues we have to fight as interregional issues, because all of us as Caribbean women are being affected by them. So there is an ad hoc group that has been meeting, talking, discussing over the last couple of months about these issues. And the one that has a lot of Barbadian women working in it, only last night we've said that one of the things that we're going to do moving forward is that since this is political season in Barbados, and we think that the issue of domestic violence and inter-partner violence is raising its head now and continues to be a serious issue, that we want to get a sense of where our political candidates stand on the issue of domestic violence. We're asking for all of the parties.
Marsha, let me interject here. Let me interject here, because I've been having this discussion again quite recently with a number of persons, and I would not like for us to continue to gloss over or portray these kind of tokenistic things without any effect at the end of the day. Let me tell you what I mean. I've been advocating for people here to extract certain issues that we discuss here on Brass Tacks, and they may discuss in their daily lives in terms of what it is they want for Barbados going forward, what it is they want for the community, even what it is they want for themselves. Now, my thing is, I've been advocating for them that when people come a knocking, This is the time you have their attention and you can put to them what are their thoughts, what are their policies on. But in relation to the issue like this, I would not want to hear their position on it. Their position on it is that it is bad. You understand. They will give you these types of things. I want to know specifically what it is that they're going to do. What part of the legislation are they going to strengthen? I just wanted to differentiate between their position on and specific measures that they would put in place. You understand the difference?
Absolutely.
Because
absolutely.
I think that we doing this kind of nice thing, and this thing is not nice at all.
I'll tell you what's the difference with this one, Kerry. I'm sorry, I don't know.
I could be Kerry, no problem.
I'm going to tell you what the difference is, Corey. This time around, because we're now working as an interregional Caribbean group, we have the eyes of the rest of the Caribbean looking at us, and we have international partners that we've been able to reach out to looking at us. So what we are basically saying is, we're telling you that nothing is happening at the level of the ground on domestic violence in Barbados. And they're saying to us, well, we can't exactly jump in there at that point. We've got to see you do certain things and see what the responses of your politicians, of your policy leaders are going to be. So what we're doing is, during this election period, we're saying to the international community, we're saying to the regional community, okay, look, watch. We are going to do what you ask us to do. We are going to try to get a sense of the party's positions, of our candidates' positions, so that when we come back and say to you, look, you see, they're not serious, you understand that that is not just what we're saying, but that you've just seen us go through a process of trying to get engagement on these issues. And I agree, Corey, it's not perfect, but because there are a different set of players looking in now, I am excited about that, if nothing more, because it gives us an opportunity for another outlet should the traditional outlets continue to fail.
One of the other things I really want to hear, though, is people like yourself from now actually putting hardcore strategies and things y'all would like, so that the public can join in on the ones that they agree on and raise the ante on it. I'm receiving messages here, 1, 2, 3, at least 3 messages, which says, please let Marsha know, basically, that there's little to nothing you can do about domestic violence. If people feel like that, it is because they don't have strategies in the front of their mind that they can connect with, that say, listen, this is a way we can address this, and not just let us yell and bemoan every time something like what happened over the weekend happens. And that is where I think we need to go with this campaign.
Agreed. And I take that advice, and that is definitely the movement. There is a lot more that we can do, and we recognize too that that is a part of the education and discussion that we have to have with Barbadians, because I think people are just saying, you know, throw your hands up in the air and what happens, happens. But no, Corey, there is a lot more that we can do, but we need the political will to do it, and we need the cultural space to do it.
Yeah, which comes first, the chicken or egg? I think we as the people got to raise the ante to develop that political will. Political will, to me, is developed 2 ways: by votes, which people keep in noise, and money. You understand? You could read into that however you want to read into it, but that is how I see it. So thank you very much. I think we got a lot of work to do there, and I appreciate the persons doing the work on the front line as we speak. 29 minutes before 11 o'clock, you're listening to Down to Brass Tacks.
Soca Kingdom,
Barbados, get ready!
Soca Kingdom,
as we take Soca to another level!
Soca Kingdom,
with Soca Royalty!
Starcom Network, in association with Cropover City, presents
Soca Ignition!
Ready!
Saturday, June 2nd, be in the Soca Kingdom at Bagatelle Great House from 9 p.m. and rev it up with Soca Royalty! From Trinidad and Tobago, 3-time international Soca Monarch, Voice!
From your wake up this morning,
4-time Chutney Soca Monarch, Ravi B. The Soca King of New York, Lyrical. Early bird tickets are now available at $60 general and $250 VIP. From Lucky Horseshoe, Bridgetown, Lawrence, Worthing and Bagatelle, CS Pharmacy, Bridgetown, A&B Music Supply, Sheraton, Smart Store, Lime Grove, Eddie Supermarket, Spikestown, Little Munchkin, Skyball, and Starcom Network on River Road.
the energy.
Soca Ignition. Saturday, June 2nd at the Soca Kingdom, Bagatelle Great House. We're revving up with Soca royalty. So get your tickets now. Soca Ignition is powered by Jewel's Whiskey, True Scotch, Heineken, Infinity on the Beach Hotel, KFC, Mount Gay Rum, Remy Martin 1738, and Hot 95.3 FM.
You see the party there? The party lit.
Hello, Better Health magazine readers. We know you love our Sex Plane column, so guess what? Now you can send us your sex-related queries and be featured in the Sex Plane column. Simply email sexplanedbarbados@gmail.com. It's confidential and reliable. Read Sex Plane each month in the Better Health magazine. Live better with Better Health.
VOB 92.9 FM wants you to enjoy the sweet life for 1 year.
1 year.
One lucky VOB listener will win a year of easy living. Thanks to Esso, Energy Lives Here, Flow, Always Connected, Always Faster, KFC, Finger Licking Good, Laurie Dash Craft Shop, the original craft shop on Bay Street for quality products and the best prices, accents and decor, your space, your style, and LED illuminations, a brighter, greener future, sweet life in VOB country.
Welcome back to Down to Brass Tacks. Some interesting WhatsApps here once I can get the computer to load it. Okay, in the meantime and in between time, Brass Tacks, good morning, you're on the air. Good morning, you're on the air.
Oh, hi, good morning.
Hi, good morning.
My name is Mrs. Watson, Anita Watson. I just calling regarding, I'm a Barbadian by descent. Both my parents were born here, now since passed on. And we've returned to Barbados to live here permanently. We wanted to vote in the election when it arises, and we're having problems. We listened to John King's representatives. He visited the development in Emerald Park last week, I think it was, a week ago, Friday, sorry. They said we had to register on the electoral roll to vote. We found that very difficult. There was supposed to be Tuesday, the school near here, they said Tuesday evenings between 3:30 and 6:30, and nobody attended there. We waited up there. Again, Thursday, there was nobody there. I've been up to the John King office here in St. Philip probably about 5 or 6 times. I mean, it could be that the time I go, he's not there, but I haven't managed to make any contact with anybody since. Kind of upsetting me is that this morning I heard on the radio the people who wanted to register the electoral roll is now closed. I don't know if that is correct. I mean, I'm assuming it would be correct information that is broadcasted on the radio.
Did you reach out directly to the Electoral Boundaries Commission?
Well, we're not familiar with the procedure here, so we took advice from the candidates. They said that's what we have to do. Mm-hmm. We have to go and register first to be put on the electoral roll. Mm-hmm. They didn't mention that, what you just mentioned, so unfortunately, no. The answer is no. I didn't know we have to do that. This is what they told us to do.
Right. The Electoral Boundaries Commission is actually the agency with primary and official responsibility for all those matters. I can give you the number, and you can actually call them. You'll find out if it's closed, if it's not closed, how you can actually register and all of that.
Right.
So that number is, you ready to take it?
Yes, please.
That number is 535-4800.
Right, okay. 535-4800. Okay. I won't bring up any other issues at the moment. Just that's important.
But thanks for raising that, because what I find is that from time to time we have people who have similar issues, and by raising these issues you actually give people the opportunity to hear the answer, because some people sometimes they relate, well, I thank that lady because I was wondering the same thing. So you actually get the answer on behalf of a number of people.
Yeah, I found that too, listening to your radio station since I've been here. And apart from that, things are obviously, we're from England, so things are a lot different here. And I have been travelling here over the years, so I have realised that the bus issue I raised some time ago, and that is still an ongoing issue. But, you know, we will have to live with that until somebody somewhere gets the app together. Also, the other issue is, I don't know if the candidates now for the parties, do they have, are they supposed to have a phone number on their billboard outside their office, or is it incognito?
This is where?
So, if I, when I went up to John King's office yesterday, there was, it just says him, the gate was open, but there was nobody there. A light was on, windows were open, but there was nobody there. So, is there a number that we can call our constituents?
I don't think there's rules pertaining to that. I think that is strategic to have the number. What I've found over the years is that they have these things called election numbers, where they have numbers and they're very reachable during an election season. This is across the board. And after election, these numbers, they tend not to work as effectively. Let's put it that way. Some of them even publish the numbers for all the constituencies, and the phone book is all over the place. But post-elections, don't try the number.
I need to find, even if it's a post-election phone number, which I haven't managed to do so far, because we're getting concerned, we're getting closer that, you know, we won't be able to vote. We haven't seen, we've seen his representatives around the area spouting for, you know, obviously for us to vote for them. But the information that they give you when you ask is not clear and concise.
Right, that's why it's better to call the Electoral Boundaries Commission. And in relation to the candidates, you can try to speak to their secretaries when they are in office. But in terms of voting, it's safer to go Electoral Boundaries Commission. Okay?
Okay, thank you.
And thank you very much for calling. Keep it locked to Voice of Barbados. This one says, good morning, Corey. I need to know who to contact regarding disabled cars on the public roads restricting traffic flow. This is now a serious concern as you traverse the country. In my area, there are two vehicles. How do I proceed? I am tired calling around with no solution. I'm going to lean again on the power of radio for someone to send me precisely the person and procedure to get these cars taken care of. Sometimes I'm told it's the Ministry of Health. Sometimes I'm told it's the police. Sometimes I'm told it's MTW. But let's get the correct information and prevent people from having to run all around and make calls up and down. This one says, hello, I don't know if you know this, but the air traffic controllers haven't been red licensed to operate international. This has been going on for more than a year. You can ask if anybody have heard about this. Imagine if I don't relicense my road tax and I drive around, I will get pulled over and hauled before the law courts. I am actually in a chat that brought up this, and I think one of the females associated to the chat is actually one of these air traffic controllers. So that does not verify it for me, but it does raise concern that this is something coming up a time and time again. And again, the Air Traffic Controller Association, or the persons responsible directly for air traffic control, will need to answer those questions. I'm going to make a note of it here again. More things to investigate. I'm going to send these off to the investigative desks of wherever to get these things understood. Because the whole thing with this is, in terms of liability, once nothing happens, it's A-OK. The minute something happens and big insurance numbers are called, these sort of things actually can create a number of administrative and legal difficulties. So we need to get information on this. So thanks for raising that. Good morning, Mr. Moderator. Can the Ministry of Health and the NUPW tell us, the temporary nurses of the geriatric hospital, when we will get our appointment letters? Some of us have been working for as much as 15 years and have not been appointed. Okay. There you go. So again, the NUPW, we wanted the SSA workers and the nurses at a geriatric hospital. They're calling upon you to find out when they're going to get these appointment letters. I guess everybody's waiting. It's appointment letter time, people. So let's get down to it. I read one more. We go back to the telephone lines. I just heard a brief on Sarah Ann Gill national hearing. Nice work. I think this is exactly the sort of message about best examples of ourselves that we need to hear, especially in the silly season when the worst of us comes out. Brass Stats, good morning. You're on the air. Good morning. Down to Brass Stats, good morning. Welcome. You are live on the program. Okay. Brass Stats, good morning. You're on the air. Good morning.
How are you doing?
I'm fine, thanks. What about you?
Good. Not too bad. Now, I want to deal with 3 points this morning.
And it's going to be very short. It's not as usual.
As usual. You like to listen. You like to listen.
Yeah. Agriculture, utilities, and the University of the West Indies. But before you get to that, you believe, I heard Marsha Hines just now, and she's talking about domestic violence. You believe that there would allow a person like Natalie to be involved in their organization?
I don't understand your question.
Well, if you're honest, I can't help you then.
Okay, I really
all I am trying to tell you is that these organizations is class collected people.
That's what you're saying, okay.
Mm-hmm. Right, so the average man in the street that going through that would not be able to join them. But look at who was the president before. Huh? Anyhow.
I want to comment on that. I don't know if it's necessary.
All right, let me go on. Let me go on. Let me have that there.
Yeah, leave that on. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Now, I heard on the program yesterday, they were talking about productivity, the three parties, and they went as far as to talk about growing what you eat. Now, when you urbanize a country, when you urbanize it, take, for instance, where you grew up, in the country or in urban Barbados?
Urban Barbados.
Urban Barbados. Mm-hmm. But I think you got to insight now. Rural Barbados.
Correct is right.
Operated from rural Barbados.
Correct is right.
Now, a lot of people are very critical about the old plantation system and the conservative. If you know very well, and you should know by now, those people who start to own the land that they used to rent, you would have realized they had enough land around them that they could have planted something. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
And that was rented from the plantocracy system, where they give you additional land where you could participate a growing food, reaping crops that you could be a beneficiary. Now, let me look at urban. Now, how could you plant food? Then you took, how many people could hold in the grotto at this point in thing? Those housing areas. About 300 people or so in those housing areas.
Mm-hmm.
Could you see anything wrong those housing areas that you could plant? Land that they could plant anything?
Not really, but the idea is you can get these cans and different things and you plant, they got the aquaponics and so on, so you don't need, and you can do vertical planting and so on, so you don't need the world of space.
Saying. I hear what you're saying.
No, I see people doing it. That's what caused me to mention it to you.
Mm-hmm. It is very difficult for those people in these urban areas. And this real country, the government, I'm talking about the DLP government alone, should understand where they're placing their people, and they should put a little advantage on them that they could help themselves. But those people in those areas, it has to, the draw of water, they have to be constantly working to maintain the style of life. There's no additional income. That as far as agriculture is concerned.
To me, that goes way further and way deeper than space to plant. That starts in the mind.
But you may have got something in mind, but you ain't got no way to plant it.
No, if you got something in your mind, you will find a way and you will find a place. It starts in the mind.
You're going to squat on somebody's land.
No, I was telling you just now.
Then the government have land.
Carla, hold on a minute. You familiar with vertical planting?
No.
Right. So
I got land that I just plant evergreen.
Right. So if you got a hedgerow, right, and you could plant 10 heads of lettuce on this, the space of 10 heads of lettuce, right? There are technologies, right? And technology is a big word. It's just some piping that you just get, and you go up about 10 rows. And you can now plant 100 heads on that same space.
But you know you're saying now, you know?
Because you're going up in the ear.
But Corey, you know you're saying now? Because you see those houses that got 3 and 4 people live up in one block?
Mm-hmm.
Which part of that block do those people going to plant?
Well, sure,
you got 3 or 4 people in that block, you know.
Right. You could got 20.
Tell me how you going to allocate a part of that block that one of them families to plant. You can't do it, Corey.
Listen, it won't be the same as a plantation, right? But what I am telling you is that I have experienced it both.
I understand what you're telling
me. And people you can use pots, you can recycle some containers, and I've seen people plant enough food to make a meal. I've seen people plant enough food to subsidize the trips to the market and the gardening.
And 4-story blocks, because you would not have the room. Every one man come and plant. Ready, other man going plant.
So what is the alternative to give everybody a plot of land? What's the alternative?
You got enough land. You see, that's a big discussion, and I don't want to go in it now. Because I know you start to understand country. Like, I go in into it, no. We can deal with it out of nothing. Utilities, no. Because of it, I want to be short.
Mm-hmm.
With the two major utilities that we have about this, would you say water and light?
Water and light?
Yes. Yeah. No. Mm-hmm. We always talk about excessive government expenditure. Where did Barbados Light and Power offices?
That's on Bay Street.
How big that building is?
I don't know the square footage, but where were you going?
But what I am trying to put to you,
mm-hmm.
that wherever a private sector is concerned,
mm-hmm.
it find means of ways of generating income for over expenditure.
Mm-hmm.
Both Light and Power and Water Authority are two utilities companies.
Right.
Look at that building that they do their business in, mm-hmm. on Bear Street. And look at the one that Water Authority got up there in the point. And tell me if it would take that amount
of again, where are you coming from, though?
Yeah, it would take that amount of building to do the same utility, because Water Authority got trucks and plants and everything the same way, you know. I mean, Light and Power.
So it'd be utility of space, and then if they'd be probably have other departments in it, because we could go over to sanitation. They passed the sanitation building yesterday.
That is a
pretty big building as well. But the thing is what is it housing? We need the floor plan. We need to know what's happening. More importantly, we need to know about maintenance of these buildings early o'clock. That is one thing we got to talk about.
Then you can tell me the government got the money.
Mm-hmm.
Now, let me go a little further down now. The last, because of time, a listener.
Plus, remember you tell me you want to be short.
Yeah, but they're right, the university. I get three. And then the last one, the university. I do not understand today if people really understand what. You at the university, isn't it?
Yes, sir.
Good. From the time that building place there when I was a young man, I was told that this university was subscribed by the member countries within the Caribbean. That's what I call the University of the West Indies. Right or wrong?
You are right.
Good. How come that all of this recession that they're talking about, the government got no money to pay the university graduates to go to school, or the university students, how come the other Caribbean countries that are involved as a connection to make it the University of the West Indies could pay for theirs, and Barbados can't pay for theirs? You answer that for me?
It's about priority for me. Major.
Good. That is all I want to know. It's so simple. Until people understand what is happening, it means, therefore, that our government mismanaged and cannot pay for the students, and those other smaller countries that contribute are paying for theirs, and Barbados government is unable to pay for this. Thank you, Corey. That's all I want to get at.
Just by way of information, you're gone, but I want you to take this information. I want you to go and use the computer if you're someone who can go on the computer and do some research. This is people living in housing areas find ways to plant flower gardens and other plants. The same way they can plant some food. This one says, this gentleman does not understand planting on balconies. In Canada, we grew peppers, spinach all year round. I grew up in urban Barbados, and they had lime trees, pea trees, flower garden, guava trees, and we used a rain barrel. So there you go. 8 minutes before 11 o'clock. Back to the lane. We'll be back.
Soca Kingdom.
Barbados, get ready.
Soca Kingdom.
As we take Soca to another level.
Soca Kingdom.
With Soca Royalty.
Soca Network, in association with Cropover City, presents
Soca Ignition. Saturday, June 2nd, be in the Soca Kingdom at Bagatelle Great House from 9 p.m. and rev it up with Soca Royalty. From Trinidad and Tobago, three-time international Soca Monarch voice.
From your wake up this morning.
Four-time Chutney Soca Monarch, Ravi B. The Soca King of New York, Lyrical.
If like it, I could dance tonight.
It's the best of Bajan Soca Royalty.
Oh, yes, the water rock.
Early bird tickets are now available at $60 general and $250 VIP. From Lucky Horseshoe, Bridgetown, Lawrence, Worthing, and Bagatelle. CS Pharmacy, Bridgetown. A&B Music Supply, Sheraton. Smart Store, Lime Grove. Eddie Supermarket, Spikestown. Little Munchkin, Skyball. And Starcom Network on River Road.
The energy.
Soca Ignition. Saturday,
June 2nd at the Soca Kingdom, Bagatelle Great House. We're revving up with Soca royalty, so get your tickets now. Soca Ignition is powered by Jewel's Whiskey, True Scotch, Heineken, Infinity on the Beach Hotel, KFC, Mount Gay Rum, Remy Martin 1738, and Hot 95.3 FM.
You see the party there, the party lit.
Welcome back to Down the Brass. Just a few points I wanted to make. I didn't want to keep the caller because he keep reminding me he wanted to be short. So the whole idea of NO is not an organization of individuals per se, although I know some of these organizations would have a section for individuals, but it's a collection of women's groups as well. And the whole idea of the point the university someone is making here, and we were talking off here, in relation to Barbados paying the full fee, was one of the few countries or the only countries I knew of that was doing it at the time. So in terms of the money we owe, though, that's what he talked about in relation to priority. But with that out of the way, let's go back to the telephone lines and say good morning and welcome to the next caller. You're on the air.
Good morning to you, Corey.
Hi, good morning.
How are you doing this morning?
I'm fine, thanks. What about you?
I'm doing wonderful, Corey.
All righty.
Corey, this morning I want to talk to you on two issues. The same, it's your domestic violence, mm-hmm. and I want to speak briefly on the People's Parliament. But I will speak to the issue of domestic violence first. And I want to say from the outset, Corey, that I support in every way, shape, form, and fashion Marsha Hinesland and her efforts on zeroing on domestic violence in this country. Corey, the problem we have sometimes is that we dismiss the messenger because we might not like, we dismiss the message because we might not like the messenger. Mm-hmm. And this is important. We give chase to the symptoms rather than paying close attention to the cause. The reason why I'm saying this, Corey, is because that I can speak, Corey, definitively to the issue of domestic violence because I suffered as a result of domestic violence. So the best sermon that can be preached, Corey, will always be in the first person singular, right? So I can tell you, Corey, firsthand, I was present